Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, the Assistant Site Editor for SearchSMBStorage.com. Today, I'll be talking about RAID for SMBs. RAID allows disks to be arranged to protect the data that they contain by adding redundancy. Because of this, the loss of any single disk will not interfere with the user's ability to access the data that is stored on them. But why is RAID important for an SMB environment? Are there any drawbacks to using RAID? And what RAID levels are best suited for SMBs? Here with me today to help answer these questions is Mark Stamer, president of Dragon Slayer Consulting. Hi, Mark, and thanks for being here today.
Hi, Megan, and no problem.
So, Mark, why is RAID important for an SMB environment?
RAID is important because it solves a key problem for almost any organization in which you need to protect your data against a hardware failure, specifically a hard disk drive failure. RAID does that. It's 22 years old as far as being a mainstream technology. It's been around since the late 80s. In general, what it does is if you have a hard disk drive failure or a non-recoverable read error, it enables you to keep accessing your data even though the hard disk drive it may have been written on is no longer available.
So are there any drawbacks to using RAID?
Quite a few. It depends on the RAID level you're using. Let's take RAID 5, take argument, which is the most common form of RAID because it is the nice blend between data protection and cost. Because what you do with RAID 5 is you create a parity. So take argument. Let's say you have five drives in which you're doing a 4+1. So one drive is actually your parity drive, so to speak, in which you are creating a set of data, a metadata, think of it like a database, about the data that's on the other drive. So if you were to lose a drive, you can recreate the data when you replace the drive, and you have access to that data. You continually have access. Well, that's a good thing, but what happens if a drive fails during the process of recreation? You lose all your data.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while to rebuild a drive, the longer or bigger a drive is. So if a drive is today, let's take a SAS 450 gigabyte drive or a 600 gigabyte drive, which is a good primary drive, it takes a while to rebuild one of those. So the whole time you're rebuilding, you're at risk of losing all your data if another drive fails. And that risk goes up because during the rebuild, the parity is exercising or looking at every byte on every drive in the RAID group. So because you're exercising the drives more during that time frame, you're very likely to have, or more likely to have, a second drive failure. In addition, performance in that RAID group is going to be significantly reduced during the rebuild effort. Well, then there's RAID 6. Well, RAID 6 says, okay, we'll take care of this. We'll protect you against a dual drive failure. This was really something along the lines of a protection for SATA drives, high-density SATA drives, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte drives, where rebuild efforts are incredibly long. So once again, it protects you against two drives failing, but during the process of the second drive failing, you now have risk of a third drive failing, and again, that goes up another order of magnitude on a percentage basis while you're rebuilding both other drives and performance goes down. So RAID has its pluses and minuses. It does protect for the vast majority of the circumstances against a disk failure. There are other types of RAID like RAID 1 or RAID 10 or RAID 0. Each have pluses and minuses. RAID 1 or RAID 10, which is basically RAID 1 striped in RAID 10, allows you to mirror your data, but you're going to end up using twice as much disk storage for the same amount of data. RAID 0 will stripe your data, but if you lose any drive, you lose all your data because there's no parity. So every RAID set has its pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm. Now, RAID can be implemented using a traditional hardware-based RAID controller or as a software or operating system-based RAID. Can you talk about the advantages and disadvantages of each?
Sure. As hardware, it's going to be faster in general. As hardware, it's going to be controlled or tested by the vendor who provides it. So whether that be a RAID card in a server, whether that be a RAID system. If it's on a RAID system, you're going to get a lot more software feature functions that solve other problems, such as snapshot mirroring, continuous data protection, automated storage tiering, a variety of things that come with that. As pure software, you're going to be using server cycles that would normally go for processing of your applications or for your virtual machines to running the RAID stack. May not seem like a lot with quad cores today and 8 cores coming and a variety of different server architectures, but it does utilize a lot more processing cycles and tends to be slower. So if performance is an issue, you don't want to go with software.
Okay, and as disk drives continue to grow in capacity and store more and more data, is anything being done to speed RAID rebuild times?
Well, yeah, moving away from RAID. That's the key issue. There are a number of different technologies that have been developed or are in the process of being developed that eliminates a lot of the penalties of RAID rebuild because they're not using RAID per se. Using things like forward error correction and erasure codes and heal in place and fail in place and virtualization, striping across all the drives at once and using a small piece of every drive to create the parity. So when you go ahead and rebuild a failed drive, it's pulling from all the drives at the same time. So I call this a little bit beyond RAID. Mm-hmm. Or a next-generation RAID, so to speak.
Now, going along those same lines, what are some examples of post-RAID products?
Well, you've got Xiotek's ICE, which does a heal-in-place and fail-in-place. It has very sophisticated algorithms that will attempt to fix the drive, much more so than any other system I've seen out there in the market today. It will look at all the drives in what they call a brick and make sure that if there is a failure, that they isolate the sector where it failed and only rebuild that piece on the other drive. So that from that perspective, you don't fail over a drive, you fail over a piece of the drive. And it tries to heal it first, and it does all the tests that normally would be done within the factory to check on the drive. Because a lot of times, it's an anomalous error. It's not really a failure. So they eliminate a good portion of the failures that would be failures in almost any other system. The best part about that is if you don't have a failed drive, like in typical RAID, you don't have to replace the drive. If you don't have to replace the drive, you don't introduce human error. Whenever people come in and replace drives, you have human error. They have a fail-in-place situation. So even if the drive completely fails, they have other drives inside their brick that are automatically assigned, or pieces of drives assigned, depending on the circumstance. Then there's something like IBM's XIV, which basically stripes across all the drives at the same time so that if a drive fails, it rebuilds from all the drives. Then you have something like EMC's Atmos, which uses forward error correction and erasure codes. Erasure codes allow you to more selectively rebuild what you want to build, when you need to rebuild it from anywhere. And again, you're writing it across multiple drives, and you're calling it back from multiple drives so that you can rebuild based on the metacode anywhere at any time. Then something like Atrato's Velocity 1000, which is a fail-in-place process and a little bit of self-healing, but with, again, high density, lots of drives available, it's a little bit beyond RAID as we see it today. But for the SMB, one of the more interesting technologies is data robotics. They use a virtualization where they have taken the entire pool of drives within their system, and they make it appear like one drive, and they're writing across all drives at the same time so that you can lose a drive and still have access to all your data. The rebuild times are incredibly fast because the data is across all drives. The parity is also spread across all drives. So it's similar to the way XIV works in many ways, but at a level that most small to medium businesses can afford.
Okay. Now, I know there are 9 main types of RAID. Which RAID levels are best suited for SMBs?
It depends. Mm-hmm. There is no answer to that question. Are you looking for performance? Are you looking for reliability? Are you looking for density? You looking for transactional performance, streaming performance? I mean, one of the best streaming types of storage I've seen out there is a small company in Southern Cal called Active Storage. So if you're streaming video, they've got great storage, and I would use RAID 10 in that situation, or RAID 5. If, on the other hand, you're looking for mostly SATA, lower performance drives, let's say 16 terabytes at most, and what you're looking for is reliability and ease of use, I'd have to tell you Data Robotics with its Beyond RAID software. If what you're looking for is higher performance but a much more reliable drive architecture because of the way that they do things, I would look at Xyotec's ICE. If what you're looking for is just a standard RAID, the general one to go with is RAID 5. Unless you're running with SATA, then RAID 6. Then you've got network appliances, RAID DP, which is a lot like RAID 6, but without a lot of the performance penalties. So, I mean, there are lots of alternatives. It just depends on what you need and how much you're willing to spend.
Okay. Thank you for all those answers, Mark.
You're welcome.
And for more information on RAID for SMBs, you can visit searchsmbstorage.com.